This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So this week, Chris O'Brien is under the weather again, and I hope it's not the flu. We've had a particularly bad strain of flu this season, and even if you were inoculated, this is hardly paranormal, but even if you had the flu vaccine, it may not work that well. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. So we have J. Randall Murphy as our guest co-host once again, and we're talking to a Hollywood bigwig by the name of Bryce Zabel, whom you all know because he wrote that book with Rich Dolan entitled 80 After Disclosure. And a little bit later we'll be talking about his upcoming appearance at the International UFO Congress near Phoenix. But I was looking at your credits, your writing credits, and you know, as a superhero fan, you wrote and were a producer for Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
That I was.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of you to bring it up. As I tell people these days, I go, it's not even the latest Superman by four, because they've been remaking this guy for such a long time. But I have to say, it was, in terms of just wonderful experiences, pretty darn cool to be sitting around in a trailer on the Warner Brothers lot, kicking around how to reinvent Superman for television back then. Very fun. Enjoyed it.
Now, since then, talking about different versions, we had Superman Returns,
yep,
with Brandon Routh. And Brandon is also plays a character called the Atom,
yeah,
on Legends of Tomorrow. And this is semi-UFO related. The name of the character that Brandon Routh plays is Ray Palmer. And where did they get that Ray Palmer from? Well, when they created the character, they were recognizing a sci-fi and paranormal writer, of course, Ray Palmer.
Absolutely true. And by the way, as long as we're on Lois and Clark, there's a strong UFO element to the Lois and Clark series, too. I put it in when I was there on the first season. My feeling was that, and now it's pretty widely accepted, but I don't think people thought about it as much back then. My feeling was Clark Kent / Superman was an alien. I mean, he came from another planet. So the first episode I ever wrote was Strange Visitor from Another Planet, based on, you know, the old television series. And one of the things that we were able to do was to sort of tie his arrival into UFO mythology, that the night that he had arrived, people had seen something in the sky, that kind of thing. And then we put in a Majestic 12-like organization. I called it Bureau 39. And Bureau 39, you know, had people out there looking into the UFO mystery. And they've been looking at Clark since 1966, I think it was the date. So, yeah, I think it's interesting that all these various mentions of ufology that have found their way into our popular culture. It's happening more often than ever, of course, right now, but it's always been there, and only now we're paying attention to it more. And I guess you and your audience are very well versed in all that.
Now, of course, for those of you following the legend, Henry Cavill, British actor, plays Superman in the movies. At the same time, on Supergirl, Tyler Hoechlin, who was in Teen Wolf. And also, he was in a movie when he was a kid, Road to Perdition, and he plays Superman. I think he's the best Superman of the modern times, even better than Henry Cavill.
I was just going to ask you about that, because I've been watching him going, you know, he's just not the average Superman. He's got his own edge to him, and he's very unique, and I think I agree with you.
Tyler is kind of a cross between Christopher Reeve without the excesses, but he has the twinkle in his eye that George Reeves had. That personality that he projects when George Reeves played him back in the 50s. But the only problem is he's only done four episodes of Supergirl, and I understand Jeff Johns over at DC Comics has to say, yes, you can do that, for them to even be able to have the episode, and then, of course, Tyler has to be available. But as I said, I think if you can see the second and third season episodes from Supergirl on Netflix. Watch those episodes and watch and see how he plays Clark and how he plays Superman. And I think it's called The Adventures of Supergirl is the first episode that he did. And I think you'll agree with me that the guy in the movies is a good enough actor, but Clark Kent has no twinkle in his eyes. He's not goofy.
No. He's dead inside sometimes. I mean, you just see him and you go, he's just had a bad life compared to the other Supermen that we've seen over the years. Yeah, and I will tell you, though, in terms of the DC permission thing, that was something we had to deal with developing Lois and Clark. At one point, we had this radical idea that we would replace most of the red on his costume with black, and that you would have thought we had declared World War III. And of course, now the costumes have been widely interpreted. They're all different. But at the time, I think there was a little bit of regret about letting go and letting other people run with the character. Now, of course, that seems to be not quite as prevalent. But they were all good. And I will have to say a word for Dean Cain. I thought Dean's was perfect for the show. I mean, Lois and Clark is not an action adventure piece per se. It's a romantic dramedy, if you want. And I thought that Dean Cain brought a certain decency to the Superman character, and he certainly had the twinkle in his eye, and in those early seasons, I really thought the world of him. So I did find a lot to like about him.
Terry Hatcher, by the way, in addition to being Lois Lane, she played a villain last season in Supergirl for several episodes. She was the queen of the Daxamites.
Well, I got to tell you, Terry is a tremendous actress, and I remember getting the opportunity to write the famous Lois Meets Superman for the First Time interview, and that was in my Strange Visitor episode, which was episode number one after the pilot. And I thought she was terrific, and it was such a challenge both for her and for me, because the famous scene, of course, from this original Superman film was Lois on the rooftop and Superman, that naughty boy, saying the color of her panties, because he was committing sexual harassment, I guess, at the time, and he shouldn't have been doing that. But he was, and we let that go, so I guess that's changing times. But we put our own version of that together, and Terry just had the perfect sensibility for it. She really was wonderful, and she's a terrific actress across the board, but she was just stunning, I thought, as Lois Lane.
Watching her play a villain was really interesting. Also, getting this stage actor, and I forget his name, who played Lex Luthor. He was really good. I've seen him as a hero and a villain.
Are you talking about the Lois and Clark Lex Luthor, or
yes,
someone else?
Oh, Lois,
yeah, John Shea.
John Shea
was also very interesting, although he was a pretty radical reinterpretation. There was nothing bald about the guy. I mean, he had a pretty healthy head of hair and was younger than the other Lexes. But again, now Lex has been reinterpreted many times since. But again, at the beginning of Lois and Clark, that was a shock to people that we would want to cast him that way. But I thought he turned out to be also very good.
Yeah, he portrayed the villainy just perfectly. And of course, they had a lot of guest stars on there, of course.
Oh, but I mean, that's what you do in those shows. You look for the guest star role because that's what you can promote. And of course, we did a lot of that. And just to finish up the UFO thing, we managed to get UFOs into Lois and Clark one other time. I think it was episode 7 or 8 of the first season. I wrote that one. It was called The Green, Green Glow of Home. And again, I was just so thrilled. Somebody let me interpret what kryptonite was all about, which for a kid who grew up reading comic books in the local pharmacy, it was just fantastic to be able to do that. And at the same time, we had Bureau 39 track Clark and Lois to Smallville with the intent of basically grabbing Superman and studying him. So we've had our UFO alien thing going for a long time. And of course, I'm not the first to do any of that, but it's fun, and it causes, I think, given some of the stuff going on these days, it's very relevant.
Our guest co-host is J. Randall Murphy, and we're doing a little pop culture, but we'll get away from that.
Okay.
And on to Fear and Loathing. And you'll wonder what that's about, and I'll let you know. With Bryce Sable, you're in.
With the Paracast people.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Message and data rates may apply.
You don't follow the herd. You blaze your own trail. And you're as adventurous in the kitchen as you are in life. Whether it's paddleboard yoga or Peruvian steak, you're the first to try new things. So are we. We're Green Chef, the first USDA-certified organic meal kit delivery service. We offer delicious meal plans for 7 different lifestyles. Paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegetarian, vegan, carnivore, and omnivore. Want to be the first of your friends to try Green Chef? Discover our exclusive introductory deal by texting the keyword FUN66 to 543-543. We believe that cooking, just like life, should be all about experience and flavor. And by exploring dinner options with Green Chef, you'll try new recipes, techniques, and ingredients for bold, new restaurant-level flavors. It's like enjoying a new cooking class, but in your own home. To experience this culinary adventure, text now and discover our exclusive introductory deal. Text FUN66 to 543-543. That's FUN66 to 543-543.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Hawaii was a wake-up call. Don't be caught without a disaster shelter. Atlas makes an all-disaster shelter that will protect your family from fallout, tornadoes, and hurricanes for only $99.99. That also includes the NBC air filtration system, solid steel construction with an airtight bulletproof door. That's right, for $99.99 and up. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER or go to iwantthatshelter.com. Atlas Survival Shelters, the world leader in fallout shelters.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We are the Paracast people, okay? I was going to say something else, but I don't want to really do it here. It gets too pop culture-y. Bryce Abel joining us. I'm going to ask him about one other thing he wrote, which has a super pop culture mythological interpretation to it. We'll get to that in just a moment. Chris O'Brien is under the weather. What is not under the weather is our second radio show called After the Paracast. It's available only if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. And what you get there is not just the After the Paracast podcast, which is the kind of show where you never know who's going to be on or what's going to happen next. We also give you a version of the show free of the network ads. So all those people complaining about too many commercials on YouTube, that's a solution. Bryce Abel is here. Of course, he was co-author with Rich Dolan, AD After Disclosure, been following UFOs for years, or maybe they've been following him. We'll have to find out. But he's got another book out there, and I want to read this. I haven't had time yet to actually get myself a copy. But this is, you know, one of these ultimate fantasies. What if the Beatles stayed together? I remember when the announcement came out. We know that apparently John Lennon actually quit. But Paul McCartney made the official announcement in connection with his new album. This is like 1970, where the Wire Dispatch came over. And I was working at a radio station in suburban Philadelphia at the time. And I didn't even think about this, but of course, you know, obviously something like this had been in the works for quite a while. And that's how I learned of it. But what if the Beatles worked out their differences and stuck together? How do you figure how that work?
Well, I've spent the last 3 years thinking about it. So, listen, with the book you're talking about, and thank you for bringing it up, is my latest book. It's just out now. It's a new publish. It's called Once There Was a Way, What If the Beatles Stayed Together? You can find it at AmazonBeatles.com. And if you want to do a little more digging, you can go to WhatIfBeatles.com, which we have a lot of Easter eggs and stuff buried in that site. But basically, I started a alternate history series a few years ago, starting with the Kennedy assassination. My first book was called Surrounded by Enemies, What If Kennedy Survived Dallas? And it touched a nerve with a lot of people who found it on the 50th anniversary of the assassination to be a really interesting way to look at the assassination. It won this big award called the Sidewise Award for Alternate History, and it got me a publisher saying, how about if you do another one? And I thought, well, it's pretty hard to come up with something as big in the sort of cultural mythology of our times than JFK, but if you were going to do it, it might be the Beatles. So I spent some time thinking about all the issues that you just brought up. Yes, Lennon quit first, McCartney made the announcement, but was there anything that could have been done during those years that might have changed their opinions? And one of the things that I do in Breakpoint is I try to find a place where history could have broken in a different direction. That's pretty damn easy with the JFK assassination, of course, because he doesn't get hit. So suddenly you've got a brand new storyline going on. With the Beatles, it had to be a little more subtle. And instead of just starting in our history line in, say, 1970 or so, I went back to 1968 for a break point. It was a lot more subtle and nuanced, I think, but it was about a visit that McCartney and Lennon paid to the United States in 1968 to announce their Apple Records. And they, in our real timeline, this really happened. They appeared on The Tonight Show, but Johnny Carson wasn't there. And instead, they were guests of Joe Garagiola, the guest host. And Tallulah Bankhead was there. Tallulah was drunk and kind of abusive and weird. And Joe really didn't know much about music or the Beatles. And I don't think John and Paul had a very good time. And it's been lost to history. And nobody really cares about it because it wasn't that great of a thing. In my book, all I have that makes for the different breakpoint is when they tell John and Paul, you're going to be on with Joe Garagiola. Johnny Carson's not making it. Lennon says, basically, F that. We're not coming. So he says, unless you get Carson in, we're not doing the show. Carson literally was performing in New Jersey at the time, and he didn't want to come back, but he knew a good deal when he heard it, at least in my book, and he makes a deal. He says, I'll come back and do the show, but you have to perform. You have to do at least two songs and do the whole show. So the Beatles end up on Johnny Carson with Johnny Carson. They have a really great time together. So instead of this sour kind of thing that John and Paul had together in our timeline, they have a lot of fun with Johnny Carson and even Ed McMahon and go out drinking afterward. So that's an example. So from that arrow bending in history, the entire book lays out. And what I did in the book, and I'll stop talking about it in a second here, but what I did to make it feel realistic, I wrote it from the point of view, if you can imagine Rolling Stone doing a 50th anniversary on the Beatles, they might very well have told the story of how they stayed together all these 50 years. So that's the story I told from the point of view as if it's been written by Rolling Stone. You know, so far, the reviews have been very kind and very excited. So I feel like I've hit the sweet spot of something, and I'm very proud of the book. And I hope anyone who wants to read it goes to AmazonBeatles.com or WhatIfBeatles.com and checks it out.
That's a pretty cool concept, actually. And here's a good question for both you guys, because you're both into the Mac and the Apple thing. And I don't know if you go into it in your book, but imagine if they had stayed together and not had as much instability over the Apple trademark. Would you guys still be on Apple computers, or what do you think would have happened?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I have to tell you, that is a major part of the latter part of the book, because Steve Jobs is one of the characters in the book. Steve Jobs ends up, well, let me put it this way. Something happens in 1974 that upsets the Beatles' stability, if you will. And Harrison, George Harrison, takes off for India. And it turns out that in reality, in our reality, in 1974, a young Steve Jobs was in India. You can read about it in Walter Isaacson's book. But he was there in India. So I have Harrison happening across Stephen Jobs in India in 1974 and combining their forces to handle this issue that's come up. And it's handled very credibly, I think. And it allows Apple to be a merger of music and an early technology, and weaves Jobs into the Apple that we know as the Beatles Apple. So there's still an Apple computer that all of us would have been working on. It just would have started down the road a few years earlier. We might have even better Apples now had the Beatles stayed together.
Now, this is interesting here, too, some speculation I make informally. If John Lennon hadn't been killed in 1980, would the Beatles have gotten together?
This is a really interesting question. It's not particularly a part of the book, although it is incidentally. I'll answer your question first in that I do believe had Lennon survived in 1980 in our timeline, in our world, that, yeah, they would have played together again. I think that's pretty clear from reading their comments and other literature and other speculation. I don't think they necessarily would have put the band back together and gone on tour or whatever, but they might have played together on occasion. Now, what happens in the book is that my take on it is that, you know, Lennon was murdered because he did not take certain security precautions. He's getting out of a car in front of the Dakota. And that, of course, was a very dangerous thing to do, and there are ways to get around that.
Let me break it here. Yeah. We'll have more about what the Beatles
okay.
stay together. Bryce Abel, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating an extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.
Hi folks, Ronnie here from Life Change Tea. There's a lot of hubbub about the ramifications of GMOs. First of all, what are GMOs? Genetically modified organisms.
Yee!
Man-made organisms entering our body, changing and damaging us from the inside out. What's our defense? First of all, not eating them. Second, cleansing from them when we do eat them. Thank God for Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea cleanses from toxins, heavy metals, and helps flush GMOs out of your body. Our unique blend of herbs help cleanse you from the inside out, helping you feel refreshed and clean of
yee.
We also carry unique, one-of-a-kind supplements. So order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Rid yourself of the yee that contaminates your food and water. Go to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Get the tea. Your best defense.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Bryce Abel, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy speculating about what would have happened if the Beatles stayed together, and then we'll get into the Fear and Loathing and the UFO thing. And I suggested here, what if, you know, Lennon wasn't shot? And you made a point here, too. He really had little, if any, security.
I think this will explain to your listeners what the book is about. So in order to keep Lennon alive and not to just track our history exactly, you know, if you're going to write an alternate history, then write an alternate history. What happens in the book is that the Beatles, through a variety of circumstances, end up playing at Woodstock, all right, which is something that could have happened easily because they were invited. They just didn't happen to go because they were in the middle of recording Abbey Road, and also John Lennon got in a car accident a few weeks before in Scotland. So in the book, these things still are happening, but the Beatles end up playing at Woodstock, and they have a near-fatal encounter with fan love because there's so many people there and there's not much security there, and they nearly meet a tragic ending at Woodstock. And as a result of that, Lennon and the others take a position in favor of enhanced security from that point on. They just figure it's not worth dying of love of your fans. And so Lennon never would have done, in my book, what he did in 1980 in our world, which is to take those chances. He would have had a different way in. And by the way, the Dakota, you can actually drive into the underground parking garage without passing through people. I believe he would have done that had he had a reason to be concerned about security earlier on. So that's one of the things that happens in the book. So you can see those things. They get to play Woodstock. Lennon doesn't die. Things like that happen. And it's just really a lot of fun. The thing I'm getting from so many people is just, you know, they know it's an alternate history. It didn't really happen. But rather than writing a dry nonfiction book about, you know, what it would have taken for the Beatles to stay together, which I don't think would have been that much fun, what I've done is I've said, and this I think is key, John, Paul, George, and Ringo are four of the greatest characters around. We know those four guys' personality as well as we know Captain Kirk or Hamlet, right? They're characters in their own right. So what I've done in Once There Was a Way, What If the Beatles Stayed Together, is to say John, Paul, George, and Ringo are characters, and I'm writing the new adventures of the Beatles. So you get a chance to experience the world that might have been had the Beatles stayed together. And whereas the Kennedy book was a kind of a riveting, sometimes scary, and certainly political thriller, the Beatles is a little bit more whimsical, and it's more fun for people because it doesn't tear them down. It just allows it, but it still gives them problems, but different problems than they had in our timeline when they were solo acts. And it's all very credible. The Beatles could have stayed together. Now, people will debate that, but they could have. And in this book, they do.
You are going to appear at the IUFOC, and the topic you offered, and I want to know more about this because we can explore this for a while. Fear and loathing on the trail of the saucers. Sometimes I think when things get a little bit sideways in the Paracast forums, you think about some fear and loathing. But why are you using that term?
I'll tell you why. I have been doing this for a while now. I wrote my first UFO movie for the Sci-Fi Channel. It was their first original film they ever made. It was called Official Denial, and that was 25 years ago. So I've been reflecting on the fact that I've had quite a journey. Not only did I do that, but I did the Dark Skies TV series for NBC. I worked for Spielberg on Taken, and I've got several projects in development, and I wrote that book with Dolan. So I've met most of the players. I've read a lot. I'm not the world's greatest expert. I'm sure you guys know more than I do, but I know a lot compared to most people. And I think the problem that I've encountered over those 25 years is that I'm relatively sure, to a high degree of certainty, that at least some of those things flying around in our skies are from some place that isn't here, and they're made by somebody that isn't us, at least some of them. So I know there's an underlying reality to the UFO situation that we find ourselves in. But having said that, I still repeatedly am taken aback at the high degree of nonsense that has pervaded the ufological movement. It makes it more and more difficult to reach out across the divide to people who don't really know anything about UFOs and really don't think about it, and even the skeptics who laugh about it. It's harder to reach across the divide when we have done such a poor job of presenting ourselves. So I think Fear and Loathing for me is, of course, a reference to Hunter Thompson's two books, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and then Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail, 1972. And I just thought Thompson sort of captures my feeling about this. There's just a lot to be skeptical about. And yet at the same time, if you're really saying that we are now 70 years past Roswell and we still don't have a national or international or global public discussion about this thing, then that means one thing only. It means that the people, the humans who do know what some version of the truth is, have chosen not to talk about it. And it means these visitors, whoever they are, have agreed not to talk about it, because both parties can end this secrecy immediately. Humans could call a press conference. The Pope could show up, the president, the Chinese leader. Somebody could say something publicly, but they don't. And also, the aliens could easily have landed on the White House lawn or in Central Park or wherever they wanted to and said, we're here, but they haven't. That means that there is a secret worthy of secrecy for 70 plus years, and that scares me a little bit. So I think that justifies the fear and the loathing. There's something going on. We know that for a fact. But people who know about what's going on choose not to speak about it. That makes me nervous.
This makes a really good segue into the whole TTSA thing. Like, how did a basic unknown then in the film industry, like DeLong, manage to slip his project under the radar of experienced industry people? Like, when did you see it coming, and what are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know Tom DeLong. I think he's an interesting fellow, and he, you know, I think he seems sincere in all the times I've seen him talk, and I enjoy hearing from him. I actually, part of what I would like to say, and I don't need to get into all the details, but I was kind of a Tom DeLong before Tom DeLong in one minor way, which was, he's taken the position somehow that the truth, in order to be gotten out entirely, needs to come out under the cover of fiction a little bit. And I'm a little skeptical of that if you're really trying for disclosure, but that is exactly what Brent Friedman and I did with Dark Skies, the NBC television series in the 90s. We literally had a source who wrote us a letter and said, you can't just tell the truth. That will get people killed. You have to use the cover of fiction to tell the truth. And so I've given a lot of thought and had some experiences along those areas that make me believe that it's quite possible that Tom DeLonge has been talked to by various people. Those various people might be telling the truth, or they might be just doing the biggest con job of this decade on Tom DeLonge. I think the jury is still out a little bit for me on that. I want to believe that he's completely sincere, but at the same time, it would be possible to believe that Tom DeLonge is completely sincere and also not in charge of the facts. So I approve of the idea that he's working diligently with some real people to get the word out, but I question whether he needs to make a TV series that's fictional or a movie or a book that's fictional to get it out. I'm not making any apologies. I'm not out to solve the problem by myself. I'm not making any claims. I'm just trying to make movies and TV series. I think that's the pure motive that you should have for making TV and series. I just don't know that that's how, if I really knew something, that I would choose to be that backward about it. I think Tom DeLonge, if he knows something, he needs to get out from behind the curtain of fiction and go straight into the world of fact and tell us what the hell he knows in plain English and back it up and provide proof that he can. And so this two-step that he's doing bothers me.
Let's break it here because I want to bring something up to you about a recent episode of the Paracast that might intrigue you. We have Bryce Abel looking into what's going on in the UFO field. Our guest co-host is J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered. From business deals gone wrong, to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Okay, Bryce Zabel, we had on a guest a couple of weeks back by the name of Walter Bosley, who's a semi-regular on the Paracast. He has a background in intelligence. He's also a former FBI agent. And he was considering mostly here Luis Elizondo, the guy from the Pentagon who was working on this UFO project for the government. And he said here he thinks that Elizondo is probably still working for the government, probably as a contractor, and that what they're doing here with Tom DeLong and all these people is a case of perception management. And I think the meaning of that is pretty well implicit. Adjusting the public's views on the subject. As you say, mixing it with fiction would be another way of looking at that.
I don't think our public views need to be adjusted anymore, to be honest with you. That may be what they're doing, but I think it's a step that we've moved beyond. So many people know that UFOs are real. So many people we've had so many things happen to us in recent history that are just so outrageous and never before happened, and we could handle it, I think. And we need to handle it whether we can or we can't, we still deserve to know the truth. So this two-step, I don't know. And whether, Elizondo is, on their payroll or not on their payroll, it sounds to me like the case that he's reporting is the truth. So if that's the truth, I applaud him for being forthright and getting it out. I'm happy about that. I don't want to look like I'm saying, well, just let us professional entertainers entertain you. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it mixes Tom DeLong's message. If you're talking about needing to do entertainment to prepare people for the truth, people have been saying that for years. They asked every UFO TV series or feature, is the government trying to use you to get the truth out? I don't think that's the case, and I don't think it needs to be the case. People in Hollywood make movies and television shows and video games about UFOs because they're interesting. They provide conflict, and people buy them. That's why they do it. When we try to merge the true facts into that and say we need to do that to get the truth out, then we're on shakier ground. I say it's 2018, people, and if you know something for a fact, come out and say it. lay it out on the table for all of us to understand what you're saying, and don't hide behind anything. Just tell what you know.
Well said. At the same time, though, I find it really interesting that you did say that you were approached by some sort of an insider.
I was.
And DeLong is making the same sort of claim, and I would imagine then that you two can't be the only ones. I don't know if you're aware of anyone else in the industry who has been approached, but do you have any way of connecting these dots behind the scene as to, like, just who these people are?
I would love to meet Tom DeLong sometime. I hope someday that happens and we get a couple hours to talk. Because in answer to your question, I don't know of anyone else who's had an experience like Tom DeLong says he's had and that I had with Brent Friedman back in the late 90s. So I would like to try to connect those dots to see if there are similarities to it, because I've been haunted by the experience that Brent and I had. Because I'd like to know whether it was the truth or whether it was elaborate disinformation. Either way, it's a little disturbing, because if somebody is approaching you with a giant story like was laid out on us and obviously Tom DeLong, then you would like to know who they are, why they're doing it. But if it's the truth, that's one thing. If it's disinformation, you still have to ask yourself, who's paying for this disinformation and what do they get out of it? Why, if it's disinformation, did Brent and I get approached by some really official looking kind of scary intelligence type guys to lay out a whole story on us? If it was just disinformation, what was the point? Who hired these actors to come talk to us that way? Who wrote their script? Who prepared them? These are questions I have. And obviously, Tom DeLong has had a longer reach of that. He's had more, apparently, of those. And he's, in fact, acted on them to actively seek out other people. The approach that happened to Brent and I was so ultimately bizarre that I chose not to follow up on it, because also I was in the middle of actually producing a network television series, and I didn't have time to become a UFO researcher. I only barely had time to write the scripts and get them produced. But I do have questions, and I think it's a good question you ask. And if you ever hear of other people who claim it, I'd like to know about them. I personally have not heard of anybody but Tom DeLong and myself and Brent who went through that.
Well, then we have, like, wasn't it Chuck Barris or something? He said he was in the CIA.
Right.
Yeah, so there's
but there wasn't a connection to UFOs or anything, and I don't think there's any. That's Chuck Barris telling his own personal story that makes him the star of it. I don't think it's the same. Tom DeLong and Brent and I were approached. I believe Tom was approached. Maybe he approached them. I'm not positive how that went down. But Brent and I were approached by people who basically, I mean, I'll give you the 30-second version, but when the Dark Skies party was put on for the cast and crew on the night that the show aired, we had a party with 200 people at my house, and one guy showed up there who I didn't know who he was, and he claimed he was from people who were very interested in what we were doing, and he told us, "We think you've done a really good job, and you're getting most of it right, but not all of it. We want to help you." Well, Brent and I were like, "What? You come to our party and you want to help us? What's this all about?" And the guy said, "Look, I'd like to have my bosses come and meet with you guys." Brent set that up. I wasn't aware of it till it happened that day. And a couple of guys who looked very fit, very military, very, very serious dudes came to the Dark Skies office and talked to Brent and I for about 2 or 3 hours, laying out what they said was the truth of the whole thing. And to conclude with why I didn't follow it up, and it sounds ridiculous, but in many things in ufology do sound ridiculous, and yet you have to give them credibility because you experience them. So these two guys said, "Okay, you've passed our test, but now we want you to meet somebody in Long Beach." They said they were naval intelligence, and this guy was on a ship in Long Beach, and they wanted to meet us, and I was sort of up for that, although a little nervous, actually, because I have 3 kids and I don't want them to be without a father at that time, you know, and I'm thinking this is a little weird. And then they said, the catcher, they said, "You'll meet this guy at midnight," and then they gave me the location of a cemetery. And I just pushed back from the table at that point and said, okay, this meeting's done. I'm not meeting anybody at midnight in a cemetery.
It sounds like you were part of an episode of The X-Files.
It sounds like it. I mean, I will tell you, Brent and I were authentically shaken by this event because, again, it always comes down to either they're telling the truth, which is really frightening and weird and shakes me up, or they're not telling the truth, which is equally scary because it means somebody who has some resources of money and intelligence has decided that we're worthy of being pulled into their giant con. And, you know, both are not good options if you're just trying to get through life and not get hurt.
I'm still trying to get my head around what they were hoping to accomplish in terms of you producing the show. Were you meant to convey something in there that presents a truth about what's really going on?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they said. Their take was, you have to understand, the premise of Dark Skies took place in the 1960s. And the idea was that if Roswell was a true event, then 15 years later is Kennedy's in office and all that. And the fact that people don't know about UFOs means that somehow the investigation in that Roswell crash had gone deeply underground. And that the history you know of the 60s was only part of the truth because there was this whole underground history. So that was our premise. And so what these guys were alleging was that part's right. You know, you are completely right that many historical events that we know in one direction actually happened slightly differently, or you've only got part of the story because the larger story was the alien contact portion of it. So, for example, the pilot of Dark Skies has John Kennedy being assassinated because he was going to tell the truth about UFOs in his second term. They acted like that was true. They acted like, well, you got that one right. But here's the weird thing. There was no big internet at that point, and nobody was talking about John Kennedy being killed because of UFOs. That came up because Brent and I just made it up. We just freaking made it up. We said, let's take the two biggest conspiracies of our time, put them in an atom collider, and see what will happen. And
before that collider collides, we've got to do this break.
Oh, great.
With Gene, Randall, and Bryce, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.